Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Dick.
Oh, there's my guy.
There he is. And John Mayer over here.
Little John Mayer. I was waiting all day and night for you. I didn't know if it was just a solo session or what.
All day. I said 11:15. I'm 8 minutes late. I had put my stuff in my carry-on and my microphone and my headphones got all fucking tangled. You ever get that where there's like knots within knots of wires? And it took me like 5 minutes to untangle. I was getting really pissed. But nevertheless, I am here. I am late, but I am here nevertheless. So,
this is not a good look based on your conversation on the Brilliantly Dumb show.
For what?
Who was late? Who wasn't late?
Oh, there's a difference.
Text.
Bob was 20 minutes late and was blaming me for it. I'm blaming myself. I'm holding myself accountable. That's what I do here, you know?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, well, I've got absolutely
apples to oranges.
Nothing planned for today. I've been extremely busy. Do you have anything?
I mean, well, I guess we're gonna have to go a little solo on this one here. What's it called?
Let's start off real quick before we get into sports. You took a trip to Canada. You went to a wedding. You saw your buddies. How was that? Because from the Instagram, you look like you were having the time of your life. You had a great haircut, and you just went out and partied. It was fantastic to watch via social media.
It was very fun. I always enjoy going to the motherland, to Vancouver, and visit the boys. I got a group of friends that we've been friends with since high school. So going on, I mean, we graduated in 2004. So it gives you kind of an idea. Well, this is a long-term friendship group that we got here. And that was good. I was in the wedding party. So Saturday was a write-off. It was like start to finish. We started like 11 o'clock, went to my buddy Batista's house. He was getting married. They got the whole spread, all the cold cuts, had some drinks, had some time to catch up, share some stories. And then from there, it was off to the wedding. It was, in the wedding party, do the ceremony, and then you got to do all the photos. And you know how it is, ticket. It's like boom, 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 boom. Then all of a sudden, we're on the reception, we're dancing, we're drinking, and a buffet. And I mean, it was fun. It was awesome. It was really nice. You know, the pandemic prevented me from going home and seeing family for a while. So being able to go home and catch up with some of these cats is great. It's something I love to do, and I'll be doing a lot more of it now. With my job finishing soon, I'll be able to have more free time to go and see those guys. And, by the way, ticket, if you ever want to play a good municipal golf course, go to Vancouver, British Columbia, some of the best municipal courses. These courses will make Rancho Park look like dog shit. I mean, it's just like, and you're not paying a fortune. Like you're paying 60, 70 bucks, like very reasonable. You get tons of great options. Lush green grass, because you got to think it rains fucking 6 months of the year, so it's just everything is pristine, beautiful. Muni courses are great. I came to California thinking, okay, we're gonna have weather like we do in California and LA year round, I'm gonna be in for a treat. And then I get here and half the muni courses are just horrific, or the decent ones you got to pay through the roof to play, or you got to play a pace of play of 5.5 hours. So not exactly what I like, but
the courses in LA, the muni courses are all about what's convenient and closest to you. So that's the only reason. Rancho is a dog track. It's terrible, but it's the most popular muni course in LA because it is so centrally located, and it's such a packed area that everyone wants to play there. And it's like exclusive. Like it's easier to play at Bel Air than it is at Rancho these days, because
if you have the money, that is.
Lives there. It's unbelievable. And dude, when you play the course, it's a dog. It sucks.
It's not that bad. I actually like playing it. The thing is it could be really good. I remember when
there's a bulldozer on hole 9. I mean, what are we talking about here? They're doing construction.
It's overplayed is the problem. It used to be, by the way, a PGA Tour, you know, mandated course. They played tournaments on that course. So, like,
yeah, it has potential. 1945. I mean, World War II was still finishing up the last time the tour went to Rancho. Oh. I mean, that course is abysmal. And there's just no getting around it. But it's a fine course to play if you don't have much money. And if you could play for $20 and it wasn't a hassle, but it is, it's a fucking hassle, man. That's a shit course.
It's hard to get on. It's hard to get on. It's hard to play. It's normally slow. I'm telling you, LA, I got to join. I got to amp up the sponsorships or the ads or whatever I got to do to get enough money to make a, you know, to join a country club, because then that will open up a window of opportunity that I've never had, you know. Beverly Imagine Wilshire's being a member,
got,
you know,
it's got Wilshire. Your name written all over it.
Where's that?
The Wilshire Country Club.
Yeah, I know. That's, well, Bob's thinking about making the plunge this year.
He's been saying it for a while now. I'm just waiting for some action to be taken. I mean, that's it.
Ticket will be on the next plane ride over as soon as Bob joins.
Well, again. How does that work? So if you become a member, do you get to bring your friends, or can you only play with other members?
I think you could bring members, but they pay as guests. So, but you just put it on Bob's tab. Bob would take care of it.
Put it on the burger account.
Put it on the Bob Does Sports account right now.
I'm just showing up on days he's not even there. He's like at the Masters, and I'm just like, yeah, put that on the burger account. I got a 945T.
I do want to inform you that I have retired from sports gambling for the moment, and that has been held up. The first week, by the way, ticket in a long time, I can say not one single wager was placed. I didn't even open up my book.
I could have swore that you had, didn't you bet on March Madness last weekend?
Mm-mm.
No.
Hand to God, I know, because I was seeing the field so good and I was staying away, and these games were hidden left, right, and center. I would have made, you know, off of Villanova alone. I would have done very well.
But Villanova is the gateway. You place your Villanova bet, but then you start looking at the board, and now all of a sudden you're betting on the NIT championship. And you're like, oh, I love this Texas A&M team. I think they're going all the way. And then, you know, it's not
a single.
It's the gateway drug.
Not a single wager, not a single penny was placed. I mean, I did have a lot going on this weekend, so that was, you know, attributed to not, you know, making it a little bit easier for me, but not a single wager, Tick.
You made no wagers, and you were a lot more present in the group chats, and you were a lot easier to get a hold of. I mean, you were much more present in another country. This gambling is ruining your life as far as keeping up with your friends. I heard from you way more in the group chat, and then I think we talked a little bit last weekend about some of the games, just talking about them, and you were present. I could tell you were really seeing me. You were really listening.
They sound like normally I'm a freaking, you know, like I'm untouchable, that I don't even reach out.
I used to think you were busy at work somewhere. Now you were just busy gambling.
Oh, yeah. I am also busy at work. They extended my time, so I got another 2.5 weeks to go. I was supposed to be done tomorrow.
I thought they extended you one more week. So I thought had one.
We got extended more. I shouldn't say it got extended. I agreed to the extension. Right. Really, here's my rationale, okay? I'm never going back there again. You know, it is what it is. You know, a couple more weeks. It's not like they're not paying me or I'm doing a pro bono. And Bob's gone the whole month. This guy's traveling like I don't think he's in LA at all. So, you know, I would just be sitting around doing whatever. Now, the one week it will hurt because it's during the Masters. But you know what? They've been very good to me. And you know, Tick, I'm a loyal guy. And the way that I see things is, you know, you pour your heart out. I can't talk right now. But you pour your heart out. And, you know, bottom line is they were good to me when I needed them. Now they need me, and I'm going to return the favor. And it's only a couple more weeks. And then, you know, then I get to ride off into the sunset, and, you know, a lot of exciting things on the horizon. And I finally broke the news to my parents. I think they're the only people, you know, this side of the Mississippi who didn't know that I was resigning.
Nice. Well, they listen to the show, though. Didn't they hear on the show?
They don't. I don't know how often they listen. I have a couple buddies. I know my brother listens. I know Bears all listens to this show.
Because we've cut things out in the past because you're like, hey, my parents listen.
I think the siblings listen to it. I don't know to be exact, but listen, I got nothing to hold now. I'm a free man. Yeah. I'm an open man, open book, you know, wager free. Cutsy's going to be job free pretty soon, you know. I'm living life in the sunshine, you know, not in the shade.
Now, if Wolfgang comes up to you in 1 week and says, hey, we'd love for you to stay another 3 weeks.
I will be telling him preemptively to kick rocks.
So you're loyal, but to an extent. You know,
I'm loyal to a reasonable account. Like they got to hire new people, which are coming in. I'm going to help train these people. And then, you know, it's the passing of the torch. I'll be on my merry way. I'll make sure that I get in very good with these people so that when I frequent the restaurant, they know who I am and earn the favor. But, you know, like you would say I'm a loyal guy, right?
I look out for people that are in my corner. You're the most loyal guy I know. I was absolutely.
Really?
Probably. I think, yeah, you are a man of your word and always been good to me. We know this.
Wow.
We're
going to have to put this on like a little reel here. That means a lot, Tick. Well, I do say, like, people, if you're in my corner, I will fight for you to the death because you're in my corner. You're my guy.
Second, you're not in his corner.
If you're not in my corner, watch out because I will come lashing with thousands of fucking teeth ready to.
With the might of a thousand men. Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, hey, listen, if you want to hear Cutsy get shit on 24/7, you go to the Brilliantly Dumb podcast. I'm here to give the man his roses when he deserves it. And when it comes to loyalty, A1, the number one most loyal guy I know, probably the most loyal friend I've ever had, all the things. Oh,
Tick, that's a heartfelt moment on the podcast.
Absolutely, and it's well-deserved. That being said, you totally stabbed me in the fucking back the other day on the live.
What did I do? Oh, you called me out. We're on a live, and I'm doing a shotgun of a beer, and Ticky goes, oh, we didn't see the remnants of the beer can, as if I left half the can left
over. I want to say, I still think
I'm
right.
So I called you out. All I did is I called you out, and I showed the can in the sink that there was nothing left. And by the way, the followers, they came at you like piranhas.
Followers ate me alive.
Between the follower and a good live, I tell you
I've been in a dark depression since, you know. Fuck Ticket. Ticket ruined the live. Get out of here, Ticket.
No, there's nothing but love for the Ticket.
I gotta say though, I was screen recording that live.
Did you have it? You should send it to the group chat.
I have viable evidence that supports my theory.
No, but I went back and showed it. I don't know if you were just getting more you know, focused on the bombarding of the comments coming at you.
No,
went back and showed in the sink the can was empty.
Now let me tell you,
I have nothing to lose here. If I'm going to shotgun the beer, I'm going to shotgun.
Let me tell you my theory here. I have the evidence. I've reviewed the game tape over and over again. Okay.
Oh my lord.
When you finish your shotgun, you carefully place it over somewhere. Now, when you come back later after I called you out to show me the evidence, you show us a crushed can. Two different cans.
No, I crushed it.
Two different cans.
Now, that is ridiculous.
Two different cans, my man.
I will bring this fucking laptop over and show you that there's only one crushed can of Corona over here, if that'll settle it for you.
Listen, you could have whatever makes the evidence. We're coming onto the crime scene way too late here. It's been tampered with. I just want to say, if you take a look at the video I got, I'll send it to the group chat. I'll send it to the public eye. But anyway, so Cutsy, I noticed in that live as well, what did they send you? The entire cooler of Corona? I mean, jeez.
I mean, yeah, they said that we had Corona coming over for a shipment for a new sponsorship. They're sending us product. But first of all, I didn't even know that there was product being sent over. No one said anything to me. So I got this weird call from this Drizzly. Have you ever heard of Drizzly or Drizzly beverage?
Alcohol delivery app.
I've never heard of it.
I know that. I kept them in business
during the pandemic. There were tickets first off. No, but anyways, they hit me up and they said, we have a bunch of Modelo for you. I said, this has got to be some kind of a mistake. First of all, I work proudly for Corona, not Modelo. Then I realized, I think Corona actually owns Modelo. Yeah. So then I said, okay, well, whatever. Like, it's got to be for Corona or something. So they said, can you pick a day that works next week? So I said, oh, just bring it Wednesday. I thought they're bringing like a 12 pack. Tiki, you saw in the live, they brought like, I got like 70, 80 beers at least.
All in 12s, right? In 12 packs?
In 12s, there's like six or seven or eight of them.
So let me paint this picture for the listeners. There's like, so he's got about 15 cases of 12 Corona packs. And all I was thinking when I saw that, other than that he didn't finish that shotgun, all I was thinking was, how did that show up at his door? Did he just
show up? Well, some lady showed up with a van and then she opens the trunk and I'm like, This is all for me. Now, for the listener at home, I don't have an elevator in my fucking apartment. Certainly. And I'm on ticket can say those stairs are treacherous. I got to go up two flights of stairs. And this lady was frail. So I said, just drop them inside of the side gate. And I had to carry them all up. I mean, they better be drank, because I tell you, the amount of work that I had to bring fucking hauling these cans up and down the stairs was a lot.
Can I say something quickly about when companies send women to do a job that involves labor and service?
Let's be very careful
here. Well, be careful, but what I'm saying is,
canceled before we've actually made it.
I love women and they should have these jobs, but I feel like absolute shit. I had a driver once pick me up at the airport and my chauffeur was a woman and she was great at her job, but she insisted that she take my bags. And she was small. She was a small woman. This is a UFC fighting woman. And I felt like shit. I was like, no, I'll carry it. It's okay. She's like, sir, it's part of my job, but let me please take your... And it was just in this whole dilemma where I was like, please just let me... I cannot be seen. At that point,
you just got to let her take the bags. If she's going to pull her back out, you've done everything to preemptively, you know, prevent that.
I couldn't confidently walk through the rest of the airport alongside of her while she was holding my bag and I was drinking a Starbucks coffee. It was a bad look.
You might have looked like a celebrity.
I'd look like a dickhead celebrity is what I'd look like. I mean, weren't you sort of pissed when she showed up to deliver your Coronas?
I was excited that I had that much beer, but at the same time, I was like, this is going to be a bitch to handle. So it was kind of like mixed moods.
It was a guy who delivered that beer. You would have told him third floor.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I would have made him haul half of it up. You know, I would have maybe took a few 12 packs and called it a day.
You would have cracked one on your way up there as he fucking slugged them on up.
I mean, you know, those stairs are treacherous. The worst I've ever seen was when I first moved in, I had a bed and a couch delivered to my apartment, and I had it delivered to and assembled because I knew it was going to be a nightmare. So these Latino guys, God help them, they were hauling this shit up the stairs. Looked like they were going to die. They got in. I had fresh cervezas opened and ready for them because I was like, these guys just went through the ringer. I mean, it's not an ideal situation, and partly why I haven't moved yet, because I'm just dreading the move out of here is going to be hell on earth. I'm going to have to haul in like 10 people and spend a fortune to do it, but it is what it is. But
when you move out of there, before we get there, when you move out, you got to leave all the furniture, dude. Take the TV and take your clothes.
I don't think I can leave the furniture.
Toss it over the railing. Toss it over the balcony.
You've seen me toss things over that balcony before.
You do some bad things. And
right. Well, we're getting a little bit over indulgent on my, you know, idiosyncrasies over here. I do want to touch base on a topic that, by the way, first time I believe we've ever touched base on this sport during the Sportsman. So a little bit of an excitement here. I'm going to talk soccer here, and I am going to go on a bit of a rant. So buckle up. I had to hear from multiple people over this past week, and it was not fun to hear. It was not fun to endure the fact that Italy is not in the World Cup again for the second straight World Cup. I have to watch on the sidelines as this fucking team lost 1-0 to Northern Macedonia. Ticket, if I pointed on the map of the world and asked you, where in God's name is Northern Macedonia, would you even have an idea within 1,000 miles of where this fucking country is located?
It's just north of Macedonia.
That's actually really good. My bottom line is, how outrageous is this fucking team? You know, Italy is one of the superpowers of soccer throughout the years. They're one of few countries that have acquired four or more. They've won four World Cups. Germany, Brazil, I think are Spain. The only two. Now they've never won four. I think it's Italy, Germany, and Brazil are the three countries that have won four or more World Cups. Now we can go back and look it up.
Yeah.
But bottom line is they are a powerhouse in football, soccer, which they call football. Mm-hmm. And the fact to miss two consecutive World Cups in a row as an Italian descent, it is demoralizing. It is embarrassing. And quite frankly, they ought to be ashamed of themselves because that is so pathetic. And they have had a history of getting into World Cups or Euro Cups that they don't take it seriously. Like these matches leading up until the tournament, they will just kind of fucking hang around. And before you know it, they need to win the last match in order to proceed. And you know, sometimes they do, sometimes like this time they don't. And it's like, this team just won the Euro Cup. They just won the Euro Cup and they're now out of the World Cup. I mean, I don't know how much you follow soccer, but I love international football. I love watching it and cheering on my country, which is, you know, I always root for Italy because that's my background. It just sucks. Now, on the flip side, what did make up for it is my home and nation land, Canada, has made the World Cup for the first time in like almost, I think since 1980 something, I think 86 or 80s, the first time they've made it. And I will be welcoming them with open arms into a tournament that they probably will have no chance in, but very, very exciting to see a huge moment for Canadian soccer, to see them go and make it. And so it was just a tale of two halves, like between just being devastated between the Italian thing and then watching and seeing, you know, Team Canada make it. I wonder your take. Do you care much about soccer? Do you follow any of the leagues like the Premiership or La Liga, or do you watch international soccer when the World Cup comes on or the Euros come on? Like, do you care much, Tick, or is that kind of out in left field for you?
I believe the Canadian women are usually pretty good, I think.
They are, but I'm talking about the men.
Yeah, no, I know. I do. I've recently gotten a bit of an education. My uncle here in Charleston, he loves to watch all that stuff. So I've sort of, when the Euro Cup was going on, sort of learned all the different leagues and whatnot. But I can't say I'm a diehard follower of soccer or football, but I know you are. And I want to ask you a question about, you know, there's something about you would say you're a proud Italian man, right? From the Italian heritage. Right?
Yeah.
You're proud of where you're from there, right?
Yeah, I'm proud of my ethnicity.
Italians, I've noticed, in America and Canada, have a connection with Italy unlike every other person who's descendant of something does with that country. Like, I'm mainly Irish. Yeah, sure, if Ireland's there, sure, I'll root for them, but I don't really give a shit. And Germans often don't either. But Italians in America and in Canada have a deep connection with Italy. They try to represent that country the best they can. Mm-hmm. The food is a big part of their lives, even if they live here in America. And I'm just curious, do you feel that? And where does that come from? What do you think makes that so special about Italians over here and that connection to the football team, the country, the food? What do you think that is?
I don't know. It's kind of like you embrace it as, you know, I grew up with a predominant, you know, Italian friend base. You know, very similar to myself, you know, my friends, my parents, the people that they associated with, the people that I played hockey with, they were majority, and I went to school with, majority of them were, you know, Canadian Italians. So growing up, I always watched, you know, I always watched the games. It kind of was like preconceived. It would just happen at an early age. And so you really, you know, it's like Canadians with their hockey. We love hockey. It's like mm-hmm. Americans, I think they associate that with basketball. You know, the Team USA basketball is like something else. It's just something that you bring up. So, you know, Italians, soccer for them is life. That is the be all and end all. So, you know, it doesn't happen often, but every 2 years between the Euro Cup and then every two additional years for the World Cup, because they each happen every 4 years, but you get a span of every 2 years, you get in a tournament. You know, you tend to follow that and root on for the team. And we would meet up and there'd be like a big viewing party and we'd do, you know, cold cuts and charcuterie boards and pastas and we make a whole day out of it. And then when Italy won the World Cup in 2006, I think it was 2006, they won the World Cup. What a year that was. Or maybe 2006, I think it was. Anyways, bottom line is when they won the World Cup, it was like a party. There's all the Italians. There's a main street in Canada called Commercial Drive, and it's just predominantly Italians. And it's just the street closed off. They had a parade. Like, people are going nuts. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun, you know? So I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Well, would you say also a large part of your education with football happened when you were studying abroad in Switzerland?
I was already into soccer at that point, but yeah, I got into it a lot more.
Yeah.
The Champions League is what I watch. By the way, you know who is, you'll never guess this, someone that you and I both know who's involved in the content, who is a massive, massive Champions League and Liverpool supporter.
Saquon.
No. No, it's not celebrity. Someone that we know more personally who is involved, with me, Bob, with you. Well, not so much you, but like who's involved.
Perez.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks
He's
the type.
He's a diehard Liverpool fan. I came over and they were having a Champions League match. He would not sit down. I was like, Perez, you're up 2-0 on aggregate. There's 20 minutes left and you're playing in Anfield in Liverpool. What are you worrying about? He would not sit down. He said it to me, it's shocking. He said it's his favorite thing to watch and that the only times he's cried in his life has been over a Liverpool soccer match, which is absurd, no?
That's an absurd statement. I mean, people must have died in that man's life for being challenging life moments had to have happened
guys. But yeah, soccer is great. Well, I don't think we get the coverage. We don't give it the respect that it gets. No. When you go to Europe, that's all anybody cares about. You know what I mean? That is the be all and end all. But
I've tried to embrace. To talk about soccer there's a small team here in Charleston called the Charleston Battery that I've tried to go. The Battery. It's another term that's only used with soccer, typically the Battery, and the club. But I just can't get into it. It's kind of like you talk about with baseball playoffs. Like when the World Cup and the Americans are in it. I find it to be exhilarating. I learn all the players' names.
Yeah,
I can watch a full 90-minute game plus additional time. But when it's just these other leagues and I have no connection, I don't know. I just don't. I
can't. Yeah, and
I feel like I sprint around a massive
opportunity to bring it up on the Sportsman, and we don't talk about soccer much. So
we don't. But that was an atrocity, and
that was terrible.
They should be fucking ashamed of themselves.
Now we have the Final Four coming up. All right. And we got a massive matchup with Duke and North Carolina. And then on the flip side, we've got Kansas and we've got Villanova. Who do you like, Tick? What do you think? Who's your horse right now? If you had to pick one team that you see can go all the way, because all the fucking teams, by the way, Arizona, they can go to hell. Gonzaga, that team is just – Bob sold them on the other podcast. The only reason I'm not more chapped up about it is because, like I said – I was wager free this week. So you know what? I didn't care too much, but otherwise I'm sure Arizona would have cost me at least a little bit. But what do you think? Who do you like this week?
Yeah, UCLA shit the bed for me. That was pretty disappointing. especially when they had the game late and they just threw it away. I looked over to my cousin and I was like, they're gonna blow this. They were up three with like 2 minutes left. So they lose this game.
Were they really?
Yeah, they're up three with like 2 minutes left, and then North Carolina just shut them out. That guy Beckett, whatever his name is. He is unbelievable. That guy can just take over a game. He reminds me of PJ, who's the guy for the Raptors? Just like he plays center, but he's small. PJ Washington, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I love Villanova, Philly guy. I love Villanova. Plus, I actually think they have the players. Now that guard went down, but I still think they have a real good shot at it. But I gotta say, man, I'm just fucking so sick of these teams always being there. This was supposed to be one of the years of the smaller schools. You're getting some, the West Coast was supposed to play a big role. You know, Gonzaga finally maybe Arizona. Getting a chip, Arizona, UCLA. And now we're left with these same four fucking teams we're always left with. And it's just disappointing. Another Duke, North Carolina game? Another one?
I think North Carolina, if you looked at them halfway through the regular season, you would not have thought they were here. They're on a magical run right now. They've really turned it around.
And even they got a good until squad, the end of the too. Season,
they were not that good. And they've really turned it around. Yet, it's a big story for them.
And yet here we are with them. They're always here. You know, good team, bad team. They're always here.
I feel
here,
like sometimes like good programs, you know, outlast, you know.
And I'm so sick of Roy Williams. He's not coaching anymore, but he's sitting in the fucking
They show him at least 3 to 5 times a game.
That little infection. He's just.
Why do you hate him so much?
Oh, look at him. Look at the face. Well, he's just horrible, man. And he's just so excited. Why'd you quit then? Why'd you fucking quit? Keep coaching the team if you're going to be there all the fucking time. So I'm sick of him. And I'm just sick of North Carolina and Duke and all that. But I like Villanova. I really do. That's not hating on North Carolina because I'm sick of them being there. I mean, Villanova won 2 in the last 10 years. They've been just as part of this problem as anybody else. But I love Jay Wright. I think he's one of the coolest guys. If you hear any interviews with him, he's just a cool guy. I wish he came to the Sixers, but he didn't. He stayed at Villanova. And I think they got the squad. Gillespie, I love those guys.
Really fucking good.
Yeah, man, he's great. So I'm rooting for him. I think they got a good shot. But, dude, Kansas, man. Agbaji, that guy.
Duke could do it all.
Duke could. Hey, any four of those teams.
It would be a fairy tale ending for Coach K as well. No,
that'd be nice. I wouldn't hate that. I mean, yeah,
it'd be a nice way to go out after retiring and winning a championship on his last game. That's a storybook finish. That would be a good dialogue to go out on. No,
yeah. Listen, if it ends up being Villanova Duke, no sweat here. I'm fine with either of those storylines. I just. Fucking Kansas, man. So sick of Bill Self. That's another guy. Just leave. Just go. I'm sick of you, man. What about you? Who do you like? Who do you think is going to win if you had to place a wager? You're not gonna. But who?
I'm not, by the way.
But yeah, no, you're not.
My goal is to somehow, some way try to last until football season.
You're out your goddamn mind. You're out your fucking mind. But I appreciate the goal. You got to set goals. You might not reach them, but it's good to set them.
Football season, everything's off, but off the table. There's no way I can figuratively see myself outlasting that. But I think from now until football season, there's a little brief period where, I mean, there's going to be NBA playoffs. I can watch just to enjoy the game. You know,
I hope you can. I really do. I've been. I don't know if I can.
But I'm going to try. I'm certainly going to try. But you know, if I had to pick a team, I mean, you got to think Kansas is probably favored. Give me Duke to finish off with Coach K on a last minute, storybook Cinderella finish. Just a magical way for him to end what is one of the best careers in basketball and then in NCAA AA basketball. So yeah, give me Duke.
I think they got a real shot too.
I also wanted to ask you, are you following along about the Masters at all? Are you excited about the Masters? Cause that's right around the corner. There's rumors that Tiger Woods is playing in this next tournament. What are you excited? Do you think he plays? Like, how do you think that is for the game of golf? I personally think even if he doesn't play well, just for him to come back and be there is iconic for the game. And I think will add a lot of allure to the tournament. But what do you think? Who do you like? What are your thoughts on the Masters? Are you excited? No?
Always excited for the Masters. It's one of the best sporting events every year. I love the Masters. But I want to say that who's ever fucking account I had for ESPN cut out on me this week. I watched SportsCenter all day long and I was piped in. I got no fucking idea what's going on now. I was reading an article about Rory McIlroy speaking on if Tiger plays. And talk about a guy who just these days always says the right thing. It's really kind of emerged now that Phil's gone down in flames. It's like just really one of the great spokesmen of the tour. I mean, he's really just wise beyond his years, and it's unfortunate that his play hasn't kept up with who he's become for the tour. But he was talking about what a phenomenal feat to accomplish, and what a great message it would send to all the players and what you can accomplish out there. And I think everyone's rooting for him, and me included. You know, I talk about what a shitty guy I think he is, and I stand by that, but I just can't help but watch that guy and root for him. So I think whether he comes, he's competitive. If he's not competitive, it would just be a great, obviously a great storyline, but what a great entertainment to watch as well.
The guy, you got to think too, whether you like him as a person or not, there's no doubt he's definitely changed the game of golf. He's had an impact unlike pretty much anyone else on the game of golf. You know, maybe you look at Jack Nicklaus and you look at maybe Gary Player, a couple of these guys, Arnold Palmer, of course, but the impact that he's had on the game, and he's done it for so long, is pretty wild. And I, what's interesting to me is I had no idea that he almost lost his legs. I didn't realize it was to that extent. Like, so I knew it was bad, but when they were saying, I guess this last time when his daughter was talking and they went more in depth, you know, that he might have almost never walked again. I did not know it was that bad. Did you know that?
I heard that a couple of times when the story initially came out that he might lose one or both of his legs. Now, who knows if that was put up for drama or if that was a PR move. So if he ever makes a comeback, what a story.
I mean, who's putting that up for PRs? But if it's true,
if it's these PR teams are sneaky. But if it's true, and I'll take it for face value, let's say it's true, that is amazing. That's amazing. But if anyone could do it, it would have been Tiger. I mean, that guy, no one works harder than him when it comes to being in shape and getting back to playing golf and doing the things
he loves. I hope he somehow, you know, if he plays, imagine if he were able to make the cut, how great a story that would be. That
even
would be
just making the cut would be amazing.
Making the cut would be like winning the tournament.
There's
people betting on him at 6,000-1 odds to win. I'm like, let's just temper expectations, people. It's the first tournament he's played. He said before he couldn't even walk, he would have to ride a cart, but they won't let him do that. So, like,
that's
to make
the
cut is just going to be for him to make the cut would be the equivalent of him of a regular golfer coming in and making the top 20. I feel like that is a huge feat.
That's the thing. A lot of the footage you see of him playing, he's playing really good golf. Like, he is playing competitive golf, but a lot of the time he's been riding on a cart and he hasn't had to walk the course. Now, the Masters and a lot of these tournaments, I think just about all of them, you got to walk. You got to walk the course.
You have to walk.
And so 4 days of that, you know, so hopefully on Thursday he comes out fire and releases a statement. But I'd be interested for him to make the cut just to see how he's doing by Saturday, to see if he's holding up, walking the whole course. I mean, that's a lot of work, man. I mean, that's tiring stuff. I'm excited. I'm really excited for the whole event in general, man. But I'm still pretty bummed that Phil's not going to be there.
I mean, I think, well, we talked about this, I think, last week about him being suspended. But, you know, he's got to take some time away from the game and really refocus his brand image and, you know, get back to where he needs to be to make a return. But I don't know. I think what we should do is we should do a little research this week, Tick, and next week we can give some ideas of who we like, favorites, different guys who could potentially come in and make a splash. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be going to the Masters. They were trying to get me a ticket, came up a little short. Looks like next year is pretty much a green light for me. I think, you know, what needs to be said is this is the first time since 2019 that there's going to be people at Augusta. So, like, it is going to be mayhem. And then you factor in the fact that Tiger might be playing, which it looks like is going to happen unless he he drops out last minute. But it is going to be exceptionally awesome to be there. Bob will be there, of course. Yeah, this guy always reaping the benefits of living the good life. But that's neither here nor there. We're not here to focus on Bob.
One thing I did want to ask you before. Well, I'll ask you this, and then we'll sort of start wrapping it up. The one story that I did follow, have you heard this story about the NFL, about how every team now has to hire a minority as an offensive assistant coach? Did you hear that story?
No. When did this come about?
So it's become, outside of the Rooney Rule not working that well, they've mandated that now every team has to hire a minority assistant offensive coach. Now,
why
which
offensive?
I thought was so, that's exactly my question. Why offensive?
Why does it matter? Put them on special teams. Why does it make a difference?
Put them on water.
No, but I'm not trying to downplay the ignif. I think it's a good thing because I mean, if we I don't know if we talked about this, but between the two of us, we talked about how the fact that there's Mike Tomlin is the only black coach in the league now after the Texans let go of their coach and Brian Flores was let go from Miami. It is ridiculous that you don't have more minority coaches in the league. We talked about this in extent. So I actually think it's a good thing, but why in God's name does it have to be offensive? Why can't it be defensive, special teams, whatever, as long as they're having an integral role within the team and how they're operating? To me, that doesn't, you know, that's what the significance should be placed upon. Yeah, whether it's offensive or not.
Ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous that it's come to this, because I refuse to believe when there's people like Brandon Staley in the league and many, many others. I mean, NFL coaching, there's a lot of really poor NFL coaching going on in a lot of teams. And the fact that it's almost come like to this, you telling me that there's not one minority out there who's a better coach than some of these guys? Why aren't they hiring these guys for the right reasons as opposed to being forced to do it? You kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding
me? What's a Texans old coach name? The GM, Brian, or is it Brian or,
Well, they hired Lovie Smith though. So he's a head coach.
No, but what was the Texas? Oh, I got to look this up now. This is not good. I mean,
their old GM, was he?
Yeah, the guy who was horrible. What was his name? It's not Bill O'Brien. No, Bill O'Brien. Is it Bill O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien was their coach. I don't know if he ever spent any time in the front office.
The guy who fucked the whole organization up. It was Bill O'Brien. Guy.
They got rid of him. Yeah.
But he's got a job now somewhere.
I'm sure he's back with Belichick. He's a Belichick guy.
It's ridiculous. Like, that guy shouldn't have a fucking position anywhere in the league. He made that team. He took, like, you know how you can play Madden? You can do, like, the career mode and you can play a season. Yeah. It's like he picked up halfway through someone, like, was staying. It would be like if you stayed at my house and unbeknownst to me, you just picked up halfway through a season on my fucking Madden and just obliterated the fucking team. Got rid of Hopkins, fucking forced Deshaun Watson out, lost all the games. No one likes you. The team went from being decent to fucking garbage. That's what he did. It's so bad. And the fact that this guy could come back, I think it was Bill O'Brien. It was. I think that's who it was.
Yeah, he was their coach for a while. And he was
also had like managerial oversight as well. Like, I think he was operating as both.
Got you.
But this guy should not have a job. Now, let's see where he is. I guarantee you he's got a job somewhere in the league.
I think he's probably back with Bill Belichick. All these Bill Belichick guys keep going back. They've always got a job with Bill.
He's the current offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama.
Well, Nick Saban is another Belichick guy. They all protect each other, man. There's a brotherhood going on. I mean, but
this guy is garbage. He's garbage. And he was with the Texans for 6 years. This guy, how do you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins for essentially a bag of pylons? Because that's what they got. Now, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Now, I will say, actually, they got James Conner had like the revitalization of his life last year.
Yeah.
Like no one in their right mind saw that coming. So it makes it look a little bit better. But at the time, if you looked at the trade for face value, you know, he was not what he was as this year. So like the trade just looked ridiculous. And he just blew the team up. So that's my point, is that there's a lot of these guys who somehow continue to get positions even when their track record shows that they're not good coaches. And it's like, how are they finding their way back onto another organization? Did they just like do a blind screen test and just not look at the last 2 years?
Well, that's the problem, is it's the same guys getting recycled on different teams. And it's like, there's better people out there. And surely some of them are minorities. Most of them played. You kidding me? That some of these guys aren't better than Bill O'Brien and Brandon Staley, who threw away the postseason for the Chargers? I mean, come on now. It's just, it's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that they're being forced.
Bad coach. I don't think Staley's a bad. He's just too aggressive.
He's not ready. We can say that. Maybe he's not ready.
He's got good offensive scheme. So, I mean, like, I think the Chargers will be really good.
A blind man could draw up offensive schemes for Mike Williams and Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler. I mean,
and Keenan Allen.
I mean, I could draw up the offensive schemes. It's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's got an embarrassment of riches over there, and he still threw it away.
But
well, anyway, Cutsy, do we have anything left? Do we have anything left in the tank for today?
What else happened? Bruce Arians stepped down as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right.
Todd Bowles, another guy just getting another opportunity at a head coaching position.
Minority, though, so we're going to show him some respect, and that's
great. We're going to show some respect. Well,
actually, they have now, they're going to have, who's their quarterback coaches? Byron Leftwich. They're going to have two minorities running
Byron
things.
Byron Leftwich.
I think he's a plug. I'm sorry. I hate Tom Brady, but I will say this. How hard is it to be an offensive or a quarterback coach when Tom Brady is calling? He's not the quarterback. I think he's the offensive coordinator. Tom Brady's calling his own plays out there. Yeah, Leftwich is just taking a seat on the sidelines, you know, and just getting all the rep. And meanwhile, Brady's calling everything on the it'd be like being the offensive coordinator when Peyton Manning was playing. Like, this guy was calling his own game. He didn't listen to anything they were telling him.
Officially, no love for Byron Leftwich. Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to say one bad word about him, because after a little film in 2007 came out called We Are Marshall, I fell in love with the program. Oh, Byron Leftwich, one of the best players ever to come out of there.
Put aside all of his terrible work that he did with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, he's not a great quarterback, but neither was Sean McVay. Okay. Sean McVay is a hell of a coach.
Yeah, well, okay, maybe I'll turn a little bit of a sympathetic edge to him. But Byron Leftwich, he looks like he doesn't know what's going on half the time. They'll like pan the screen to him, and he's got this dumbfounded look. Looks like he was just placed in the center of the field. He doesn't know what's going on. He woke up from an hour-long nap.
Tom Brady's just bailing him out left and right.
Oh, 100%. This year would have been the first year that guy had to do any work, and Tom Brady came back.
No one was happier than Byron Leftwich when Tom Brady decided to come back.
Like, honey, looks like I'm in another bonus this year, and you know what? We might as well take a 3-week hiatus vacation during the season, because they won't need me on the sideline.
I mean, Byron Leftwich was looking at Kyle Trask on the roster. He's looking at Cam Newton on free agency. He's like,
oh, my God. Good to know some people get bailed out, but no, you know what? I think we made the most out of this episode. I'm trying to think what else. Hockey playoffs are coming up. It looks like the Canucks aren't going to make it again, which is just sad. I mean, it's just fucking devastating. You know, you talk about a city and a franchise that deserves more. It's the Vancouver Faithful. Just
you
got to
get a basketball team back there.
Well, I would love to have a basketball team. We had the Grizzlies, and fucking David Stern took them and threw them away. Then we would make the pilgrimage over, me, Bears, all the guys. We'd make a pilgrimage over to Seattle. It's only a 3-hour drive. And we watched the Sonics. They had Durant as a rookie. Things were exciting. Oh, no, we're going to take the Sonics. We're going to move them to Oklahoma City. So then the only time we could ever watch a game was we had to fucking make a hole across two states to go to fucking Portland and watch at the Moda Center. You know, it's like a fucking whole day of driving, 5.5-6 hours of driving to watch the Portland Trailblazers take on the Washington Wizards.
Vancouver's ready for a team. I mean, they're ready for a team.
We are. Look, what Toronto is great. Toronto got the franchise the same time Vancouver got our franchise. Why? And by the way, if they say the attendance wasn't good, that's bullshit, because the attendance for Grizzly games, if you go back and look, they were still good. And we had the worst record ever. Like, I think we were losing like 80% of our games, and the fans were still going out there, albeit it wasn't to watch the Grizzlies. It was to watch Allen Iverson and Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, but they were still going. Tickets were still being sold.
Yeah. You're a loyal market. And by the way, the
Grizzly jerseys and the paraphernalia was the only thing that team ever got right, because those jerseys are sick. And I'm happy that they brought them back, the retro jerseys. Now you'll see Morant wearing them, though. You can buy, like, you know, the teal ones with like the native symbols on the side. Those were sick jerseys.
Do you have any vintage Vancouver Grizzlies?
Confirmed, I do not.
You don't. That
I used to have some hats and stuff. I mean, listen, they left so long ago. It was like, you know, you kind
of. It's like remembering the Alamo. Is anyone really anymore? Now, if you could take one of these teams, who would you want? Would you want to move? Would you want to start a brand new team? I don't know what New Orleans is doing. I don't think they deserve a team anymore. I think the Pelicans.
They have a lot of good pieces. I'd love to take the
Pelicans. But they still stink. I think they deserve to be moved and moved to Vancouver. Get Zion.
I'd love Charlotte.
Yeah, but are you ever going to get a team out of Charlotte? I mean, no, yeah, Charlotte would be great. They're on the up and up, though. Dude,
that's what I'm saying.
LaMelo is incredible.
LaMelo Ball is everything I expected Lonzo Ball to be and more. He's unreal. Lonzo Ball was a flake. Absolutely.
He's turned into a decent player, but he's nowhere near what he's people come thought back, but he like, would be.
He was, what, the second pick overall from UCLA?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
bad. My God. Who was the first pick that year? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I don't know.
Ball was big. You know, we got to be better when I hold
us to a higher standard. Question. Oh, was it Markel Fultz to the Sixers?
I think it was, which was even a bigger flop.
Some of these drafts just don't have it, man.
How do these guys get it so wrong with some of these players?
And it's always the same organization.
Here it is. Here it is. It was a 2017 NBA draft. First draft overall, Markel Fultz to the 76ers. Taking, what were you guys doing?
And Jason Tatum's in that draft too.
Then was Lonzo Ball second overall. Jason Tatum at number three.
Yep.
You know who number four was? Another great player. De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, I love De'Aaron Fox.
I know Sacramento. You do.
Dying. And number, dying in
number
Sacramento.
Six, Jonathan Isaac. I don't know who the fuck that is. Number seven, Donovan Mitchell. You could have had Mr. Jesus Mitchell. Christ. And then you had, not even seven. Mitchell was 13th overall. Adebayo was 14th overall. Jared Allen, 22nd.
John Could Clark. You imagine Jason Tatum with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid? I mean, that would have been insane. We were so close.
Donovan Mitchell, we're going to take Donovan Mitchell. You wouldn't take him on as a guard?
No, of course I would take De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell. Just saying, I remember that we were kicking around Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum.
Well, Lonzo Ball was not the answer, but imagine Jason Tatum.
And Markel Fultz, and we went with Markel Fultz.
Oh, my.
One of the biggest flops of all time. The guy got to us and completely forgot how to shoot. I mean, he didn't even play. I don't think
he played. And then, you know what? He's kind of had a little bit of a resurgence with Orlando. Then he got that big injury.
He got hurt immediately.
I know, but he showed at least that he had some competency.
Yeah, I mean, he saw a psychotherapist, I think, and got his head straight and figured out how to shoot, and then he got hurt immediately. He did get a contract.
Terrific what we saw to him in the fucking, I mean, imagine Jason Tatum with Joel Embiid. And Ben Simmons.
He'd still be there.
This might have panned out.
Because we wouldn't have asked him to do as much.
We wouldn't have needed him to score nearly as much. He could have just played defense and done his thing. You guys probably would have had a ring by now.
Maybe we would have.
I mean, you like to think this is a superstar player on the Boston Celtics, their absolute go-to guy, and one of the more prolific scorers in the NBA.
I know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put salt in an open wound like that. I didn't even know the Sixers had the first pick overall that year. It just kind of fell into place that way. So.
I don't love thinking about Markel Fultz. It's something I've swept under the rug in my mind. It's a suppressed memory. And
how pissed were you that first year he came? You must have been just livid.
I was even more pissed the second year. It's like, again, this guy's not playing? This is unbelievable. What's wrong with the show? He was getting shoulder injections.
Oh.
No one could figure out what was wrong with him. And John Calipari just was laughing as he just left. Thank God. All right. Well, I think we're about out of steam here, huh, Cutsy?
When we're talking about Markel Fultz, it's time to pull the plug.
And should the Grizzlies move back to Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. We are clearly not prepared. That being said, I think we actually put together a decent little episode there.
I think we pieced something together here. I really do.
I mean, yeah, it looks like it's going to look like, like a bionic man walking out of there just piece by piece. But I think we did something half decent. We got some good topics.
I'll have to edit out some of the stuff about women, I think.
I mean, well, I... I'm just going to put it on the record. Joseph Colcuts DeMar does not prohibit any of the big tickets, thoughts, feelings, or endorse his ideological beliefs.
If I put this out unedited, it's going to be like that live all over again. Fuck ticket. This guy's a fuck.
This guy's a fraud.
There's a lot of guys out there who don't like the big ticket. That's for sure. I lost a lot of people money.
What do you mean you lost a lot of people money? You haven't done the ticket predictions in months.
Yeah, but that I lost a lot of people money, and I started getting some bad messages, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't be doing
this. I mean, that's ridiculous. Take it. The fact that you would think like that, that has no correlation. You put a pick out that you like, they're willingly putting their money behind it, and they're taking your word. You're not putting a gun to their head and placing the bet for them. And by the way, if they're making a wager that big that they're losing and then blaming you, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but it did happen.
I'd like to see the ticket get a little bit more involved on the Instagram platform again.
Could happen. He's got to find a new avenue. It's not the sports betting. He's got to find something else. All right, buddy. Well, that was another good episode. We sort of didn't have anything prepared, but we pieced something together. Always fun. Always is. Love seeing you, buddy. Glad to have you back in the old US of A. He's Joey Coldcuts. I am the big ticket, and we are the sportsman.
Love you, Tick.
Till next week, folks. Love you too, buddy.